Well, today we're going to be in the book of John, so praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter 20, looking at verses 24 through 31. The title of today's sermon has changed many times over the week. It started out with what's in your bulletin, what happened after Easter. Then I thought, boy, that's not so appropriate. Then I changed it to our own story. And then I thought, I didn't like that either. So where it stands as of today, as me getting ready to preach, is everyone needs a personal experience with Jesus. Amen. That's going to be the title. Everyone needs a personal experience with Jesus. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Let's see what God's word has to say for us today. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to him, unless I see in the hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came and the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have eternal life in his name. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, God, proclaiming, Lord, what you've done, Jesus Christ, over this past Easter. God, we thank you for living, we thank you for dying, and we thank you for rising again, Lord. God, we thank you for the way that you're working in our lives today. I know a lot of us are struggling. I know a lot of us are going through tough times. Lord, it seems like the devil's attacking our health. He's going after our finances. He's going after our relationships. Lord, he's trying to tear apart everything he can. But God, we know who's in control. And that's not the devil. The devil should be gone. There's no room in this house for him today. This is your body, your room full of believers. And Lord, we proclaim your name. God, we came here to worship you. And we say, Lord, cast this thing away from us that's causing all these troubles. Send him packing, God, because there's no room in our hearts. There's no room in our lives. The only room we have is for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, bless us as we preach this message today. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, so we had a good Easter last week. I think everybody had a good Easter. If you had a good Easter, let me see your hands. Yeah, it was a good Easter. We had a good time. And we've been preparing for Easter. We've been looking forward to that day for quite a while, haven't we? You know, we did things like sang hymns in the park. That's always a lot of fun. We decorated the church. We stuffed the eggs for the Easter egg hunt. You know, we were looking forward to it. We were preparing our hearts and our minds for the things that Jesus had gone through and kind of thinking about what that last Holy Week was like. It was great. But now it's all over. Now we're here the week after Easter. And so you think, well, what does that mean? Well, for some, it means the candy in your kids' baskets, it's gone. It's over. For others, it means those plastic eggs, they've been emptied out. The church grounds have been scoured for the last eggs that were remaining. And there's none anymore. The kids and some of the parents and grandparents, they might have a little stomach ache from eating all those jelly beans. The Easter dress, the Easter suit, that's put back up on the closet for another year, amen? And all we have left to remember that wonderful day is a couple of family pictures at the back, which you can pick up on your way out of the sanctuary today. So I started thinking, all the emotions that are involved in getting ready for Easter, all the emotions that are involved after Easter, I wonder what the disciples must have went through. You ever thought about that? I mean, these people were worshiping with Jesus. They were walking with him daily for some up to 3 years or longer. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was gone. He went through all that terrible stuff. And he came back. I thought, wonder what the disciples thought of the week after Easter. So I started reading. Well, the capture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's over. Done. That brutal treatment in the hands of the Roman soldiers when they captured him, it's over. Don't need to worry about that anymore. The trial that found him guilty, even when he never did anything wrong, that's done. The cruel fastening of his body to that old rugged cross, that's over. The wounds from his head, the wound from his hands, the wounds from his back and his body, all those, done. When they brought down his body from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea and also Nicodemus, that's done. When they went in to see where the body was after he rose, that's done. So I wonder, what were they thinking about the last week when Easter was over? Well, if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all talk about very much the same thing. That Jesus rose again and he was in that upper room with them where they last broke bread. And he revealed himself to them. And then Jesus arised and went to heaven. He ascended into heaven. But you look at John. John tells a little bit more thorough detail of the work that Jesus did. Because he didn't just come back for one day and he was gone. No, he was here for a while. And he did a lot of different things. John tells us that Jesus met Mary Magdalene when she was weeping outside the tomb. He tells us about the apostles being commissioned to go and tell others about Jesus. John tells us about how Jesus fished with the disciples, how he breathed on the apostles and they received the Holy Spirit. John tells us about the breakfast that he ate with the disciples and even other children. John also tells us how he restored Peter after Peter denied him three times. And then John tells us about this other man, this man named Thomas. Thomas. Interesting guy Thomas was. He was a man who wasn't present with the other disciples when they were in the upper room. You know, when Jesus appeared to all those other people, Thomas wasn't there. I started thinking, why wasn't Thomas there? You know, what if that would have been the only time that Jesus would have appeared to the disciples? Thomas would have missed out on that huge blessing because he wasn't there with the rest of them. Let me tell you something, friends. There's a blessing in coming to church. There's a blessing in being here today with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You never know what God is going to do in service. And if you don't show up, you just might miss out. Thomas could have missed out. If that was the only time that Jesus was going to rise, Thomas wouldn't have saw him. He would have been gone. And so now I know there's some people that are quick to point out, well, Pastor, coming to church doesn't make you saved. Coming to church doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. No, you're right. It doesn't mean any of those things. But it sure does help you get a closer walk with God. Sure does introduce a little bit more about Jesus in your life. And it sure does, I don't know about you, but for me, if I've done something wrong that I'm not proud of, when I walk through the doors of the church, my head doesn't go up as high as it used to. A little bit of conviction might take place. But you know what also happens when I walk through the doors of the church? I meet you. And you make my day, no matter what's going on outside of the church, what's going on outside of my life. When somebody meets me and they say, hey, Pastor Allen, how you doing? Man, it's good to see you. You know what that makes me feel like? I can't even explain it. Like $1 million. You're encouraging. Folks, it's important for us to come to church. You ever read that scripture in Proverbs 27:17? It says, as iron sharpens iron, so let one man sharpen another. Here's how it is I need you. And you need me. We need each other to get along in this world. It's a tough place, right? And then Jesus gives us some more scripture in Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhort one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. You see, if Thomas would have been with the disciples that day when Jesus showed up, he would have got to see him too. But he just wasn't there. He missed it. He missed out. And so a lot of people say, well, that was Thomas. That's not me. You see, Pastor, that kind of exciting stuff doesn't happen in church anymore. I don't know about you, but I see all kinds of exciting stuff that happens in church. Other people say, well, you don't have to go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, all those things. I'm not telling you when you have to come to church or when you don't have to come to church. You don't ever have to go to church. I'm just saying that if you're not at church, you could miss something amazing that Jesus wants to do. And I've heard people say, well, I don't go to church anymore because of what people have done. I don't go to church anymore because of what people have said to me. And you know what I tell those people? You shouldn't be going to church because of the people that go to the church. You should be going to the church to worship the Jesus with the people. Amen? Amen. You know, some people might say, well, there's sinners in church. There's liars and cheaters and hypocrites in the church. And you know what? They're right. There is. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to deny that. Nobody's perfect. But you know what? There's liars in your job. There's cheaters in the neighborhood where you live. And there's hypocrites probably in your family too. And I don't see you quitting your job. I don't see you hiring a moving van, moving across town, or getting rid of those people and disowning them that are in your family because they have a couple problems. And folks, I see it like this. I'd rather live here on earth with a couple liars, hypocrites, and cheaters than die and go to hell and live with them for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with this. Folks, we're all in a hospital for sinners, right? We're in a place where we want to get better, where we want to be stronger for the Lord. And we got to help each other. So folks, if you miss a day at church, you might just miss something exciting that happens. Thomas missed an exciting day. I believe the Lord is doing great things at our church. And I love seeing what he's going to do every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday. You never know what God might do. But old Thomas, he wasn't there. He missed out. Now I wondered, I said, well, why did Jesus come back and seek him out? Why did Jesus go to look for him? And you know, as I was reading through scripture, I believe Jesus wanted to go to every single one of the apostles, every one of the disciples, and he wanted them to see for themselves, hey, it's not a story about me raising from the dead. Here I am. He wanted to show them. He wanted them to be able to experience it for themselves. Jesus' hope, if you read scripture, you can read John 3, 16 and 17, Luke 19, 10. It's all over the Bible. But his hope was that every person would be saved. That includes you. That includes me. And that includes this guy, Thomas. You see, but we all have the choice. You can accept Jesus or you can reject him. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force that decision upon you. But you're the one who has to make it. So even though Thomas missed the first appearing of Jesus, Jesus was still seeking him. So let's see how Thomas received this news when the disciples had told him about this. Look at verses 24 through 26. It says, now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So Thomas says to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Not many of us know Thomas is what? Doubting Thomas. We know him as the doubter. So I started thinking about that. Is Thomas that much different than me? Is he that much different from you? And then I started thinking, what was Thomas really doubting? What was he doubting? I started wondering, I said, was he doubting Jesus? Was he doubting that Jesus really rose? Or was he doubting the story that the disciples told him? You see, because there's a difference. There's a difference between doubting Jesus and doubting the story that your buddies tell you. So I started thinking, And when I looked at the scripture, I looked at his reaction, what he said, I was pretty impressed. If you picture this, the other disciples, they come, they find Thomas, and they tell him this. They say, Jesus the Messiah has returned from the dead. They say, he's resurrected and he lives again. What Thomas says sounds like something I would say. Until I see that nail print in his hand and I put my finger in the wound in his side, I don't believe what you guys are telling me. I think Thomas made an incredible point. Think about it this way. I want to change your thought on the way you see Thomas today. Think about it this way. Thomas was probably saying this. You're telling me what you're telling me because you saw Jesus for yourself. The reason you're telling me that he raised from the dead and that he appeared to you is because you saw him with your own eyes. You're not telling me this because somebody told you. You're telling me this because you experienced Jesus on your own. In other words, what Thomas is saying is, hey, I want to see Jesus for myself too. I want to see him for myself. Am I not a disciple? I could see Thomas thinking, I was there when he fed the hungry just like you. I was there when he healed the sick just like you. I was there when he gave sight to the blind just like you. I was there when he cleansed the lepers just like you. I was there when he brought Lazarus from the dead just like you. So I want to have an experience the same one you had. I want to see Jesus with my own eyes. Because if you expect me to risk life and limb going everywhere preaching this story, if you expect me to travel the world and convince other people to follow Jesus, then I want to have the same experience that you had. I want to see him with my own eyes. Is that too much to ask? Because I might be preaching, I might be traveling, and somebody might just ask me this question. They might say, how do you know Jesus is really alive? And you know, if somebody asked me that question, I don't want to tell them, well, because Peter told me. Well, because John told me. Well, because James told me, and they wouldn't lie. No, I want to be able to say, I know he lives because he appeared to me. I saw him. I had an experience with my Lord and Savior. Friends, you have to have your own experience with Jesus Christ. Your faith can't rest on somebody else's. Your mom, your dad, grandma, grandpa, your sister, brother, all those people can be saved, but their salvation doesn't help you. You have to have a personal experience with Jesus just like Thomas did. You've got to know him for yourself. And see, I can stand up here and I can say, well, let me tell you, folks, Jesus is the mother to those that are motherless. Jesus is a father to those that are fatherless. Well, I can tell you that, but I don't know that that's true. You know why? Because I had a mother and a father. I could just go by what other people had told me. But I can tell you, Jesus can take you from the nasty mess that you're in, and he can deliver you. And you know why I can tell you that? Because he's done that to me. And I'll bet there's somebody here today who's also seen Jesus work in their life. I'll bet we got somebody in our church today who's seen Jesus has turned their life around. They had an experience with Jesus where he picked them up out of the gutter, where he liberated them from drugs, where he gave them a job. Maybe Jesus put you in a home when you had nowhere to live. Maybe he placed a car in your driveway when you had nothing to drive. Maybe he blessed you with a family that loved you when your own family didn't love you. Maybe Jesus forgave you when you thought you did something that no one else on the planet would forgive you of. Folks, you got to have an experience with Jesus before you can tell others about him. That's where Thomas was. Thomas says, look, I don't think Thomas was doubting that Jesus rose from the dead. I think what Thomas was doubting was a story that he heard. And Thomas said, hey, I'm a disciple. I want to see Jesus just like you did. Because if I'm going to go out there, I'm going to risk my neck. I'm going to preach the gospel. I could be killed for the Jesus that I'm preaching about. I want to know that it's for real. And so what Jesus did was he appeared to him. Listen what the Bible says in verse 26 and 28. It says, after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came. The doors were shut, and he stood in their midst and said, peace be to you. And then he said to Thomas, listen to what he says to Thomas. Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered to him and said, my Lord, my God. Think about this. 8 days later, Jesus appears to Thomas in this room. In the account of scripture we have here from John, it says the doors were closed. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see that the windows were also shut. Now, how does Jesus enter a room when the doors are closed and the windows are shut? People say, well, that's impossible. I say, well, how does cold get in your house when the windows are shut and the doors are shut? How does cold get in your house? You don't know, but it does, doesn't it? How did Jesus show up? I don't know, but he did. That's what the scripture says. And notice in the scripture what Jesus does. He doesn't come in there and hang out with everybody. He walks right up to Thomas. He goes right up to him. He says, Thomas. And the other disciples must be like, oh, man, Thomas in trouble, Dad. Goes right, you know what this feels like? I'm just back there, yeah. Goes up to you and says, Thomas, look at these hands. Put your finger there. Look at this in my side. Go ahead, put your finger in there. Put your whole hand in there if you want. And how does Thomas react? What does he say? He says, my Lord, my God. You know what Thomas didn't do? He didn't put his finger in the hole. He didn't. How many of you honestly will put your finger in the hole? Come on. Be honest. You see that finger in his hole, you see that hole in his hand, you're going to be like, you ever seen people with those gauges in their ears? I wanted to do that. I see those big gauges and I'm like, can I just put my finger through your ear? I don't know. But Thomas, he didn't do any of that, right? The scripture doesn't say that. Jesus says, here, it's right here. Put your finger there. Here, look over here. It's right here. Put your hand over there. Thomas says, my Lord, my God. He didn't have to put his finger anywhere. He didn't have to put his hand anywhere. Because he had a personal experience with Jesus. And when he saw him, he believed. And what he said was, "My Lord." And you know what that means? That means that he was putting him above him. He said, that means that Thomas is saying, "I can trust you, Lord. I can follow you, Lord. I can believe in you, Lord. I can stand on you, Lord. I can depend on you, Lord." And you know what, church? If you had an experience with Jesus Christ, you need to remember those same things. Stop doubting. Jesus already revealed himself to you. He already showed you who he was to you when he changed your life. So you can trust him. You can depend on him. You can stand on him. Stop trying to stand on your own two feet. It just won't work. I don't know what's been going on with me this week, but I've been stumbling all over the place. I have. I've been falling into walls, sliding down the stairs, dropping stuff. Might be my neck. I don't know what it is, but I've been having all kinds of problems. You know why? I'm trying to stand on my own two feet. It's hard. But when you trust in Jesus after you've had an experience with him, you don't have to worry about what happens in your own body because the Lord and Savior, he's got you. So when Jesus revealed himself, when he went in that room, he went right over to Thomas. He said, "Put your finger here, put your hand here." He said, "My Lord, my God." He believed. What does it mean when he says, "My God"? It means that he believes in him for all of eternity. Not just here on the face of this earth, but all of eternity. When Thomas says, "My God," he's acknowledging that God is the God of the earth. He's the God of the heavens. He's the creator. And he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one, says that no one will enter heaven without going through him in John 14:6. So folks, I want to let you know that I'm thankful that the God I serve is not just the God of the earth. I'm thankful for what Jesus does for me here. But I'm thankful that, you know what? When my body weakens, when I succumb to death, that he'll be there for me on the other side. I'm thankful that when I can no longer preach and when I close my eyes for the last time, that Jesus will be with me there on the other side. I'm thankful that when my body returns to dust, that Jesus will be there with me on the other side. When those people are carving my name in the gravestone, Jesus will be with me on the other side. When I have no more breath, no more life, Jesus will be with me on the other side. When somebody else fills my office, when somebody else stands up here and preaches the word of God and I've been long dead and gone, Jesus will still be by my side. He's not just the God of the earth, but he's the God of the heavens too. So Thomas says to Jesus, "You know, I thought I needed to put my finger in that hole. I thought I needed to put my hand in your side. But just one look at your face convinced me that you are who you say you are, my Lord and my God." And I want you to know today, church, just one experience with Jesus, just one look upon his face, it can put faith in your heart. It'll make you put down that bottle. It'll make you throw away that needle. It'll make you clean up your life. Just one experience, just one look at Jesus, it'll help you love your enemies. It'll help you to cease your lying. It'll help you to stop your stealing, to turn from your wicked ways. Just one look or one experience with Jesus can change your life forever, if you'll let it. I want to share one more thought before I close today. Thomas believed because he had the opportunity to see him. But Jesus, he knew that not everybody would sit in that chair that Thomas was sitting in. So he established a new blessing for people like you and me. A new blessing for those that couldn't fit in the upper room. A new blessing for those who were not available with Thomas and the other disciples. A new blessing for those who hadn't even been born yet. Look what it says in verses 29 and 30. Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus says, "Thomas, you believe because you saw me. That's why you believe, Thomas. You believe because you saw me. But Jesus said, you are blessed. You are blessed because you believe and you have not seen. I don't know about you folks, but I wasn't there in the upper room. I wasn't there at the foot of the cross. I wasn't there to watch him disappear as he ascended into heaven. I wasn't there to see Jesus eat fish and break bread. I wasn't there to see the holes in his hands, to see the piercing in his side or in his feet. I wasn't there to see it. But Jesus said, we are blessed because even though we haven't seen it, we believed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When Jesus says you're blessed, there's no demon that can steal that from you. When Jesus says you're blessed, there's no enemy that can take that blessing from you. When Jesus says you're blessed, there's no complainer that can steal it from your heart. There's no gossiper that can change it. There's no liar that can change it. When Jesus says you are blessed, that joy you have in your heart is because Jesus gave it to you. But I've been blessed because I have seen him. I may not have seen his hands or his feet, but I've seen him work in many of your lives. I've seen him work in my life. The message today is about having an experience with Jesus. So this week after Easter, let's learn from Thomas. Let's stay in church. You never know what you might miss if you're not here. Let's remember that we are blessed because Jesus loves us. And I want you to know that that's enough. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, to know that somebody loves you unconditionally, that's enough. And thirdly, like Thomas, you need to have your own experience, just like Thomas did. You can't stand your faith on other people. You have to meet Jesus for yourself. Maybe today's that day. Maybe today's the day where you say, you know what? I've heard a lot about you. I'm ready to meet you. Maybe today's the day where you say, you know, God, I've been doing a lot of stuff on my own. Stubborn. And I need you. Maybe today's the day where you recommit yourself and you say, you know what? I miss a lot of church. I miss a lot of things. But I don't want to be like Thomas and miss that out. So Lord, help me to make this a priority. I don't think Thomas doubted. I can't wait to ask him, but I don't think he doubted that Jesus died and rose again. He followed him. He knew what Jesus said. Maybe he just doubted what those other people and the stories they said, because you know what? After all, Peter denied him 3 times. Matthew was stealing money from the till. And James and John, they wanted to be at Jesus' left or right. So why would he believe those guys? He wanted an experience with Jesus Christ. And if you want that experience with Jesus, you could have that too today. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for our time together today, Lord. I thank you, God, for speaking to us, Lord. God, we need to be with you, Lord, every day. God, we need a personal experience with you, Lord. God, if we're banking our hopes on going to heaven based on somebody else, God, we're never going to get there. It's just not going to happen that way. Lord, there's only one way. In John 14:6, you say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. God, we need to have a real experience with you today. Maybe there's somebody here today, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, and that's why you gave me this message. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here today that is dealing with the wiles of the devil, been beating them down, ripping their hearts out, doing everything he can to destroy them. And God, we're just letting that get to us. We're letting that try to steal our joy. But Lord, no one can steal our joy. We have to give it away, Lord. Help us not to give it away. God, maybe we're trying to fight all these fights on our own in the world and we're losing. We feel like we're facing a losing battle. Maybe we just need to come up here and say, you know what, God? I'm done fighting it on my own. I'm giving it to you, God. I can't do it on my own. I don't know why people might need to come to you and pray today. But Lord, if there's anyone that needs to come and pray or praise you, Lord, I pray that they would come. I know, Jesus, you're seeking hearts. Just like you were seeking Thomas, you're seeking hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. For it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.